We're on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, and we got up to the Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah continues in the same vein, addressing the case of two chatzeros that are near each other, but there's something that's mafsik in between them. And in this case, the mafsik is a pile of hay. We'll call it a stack of hay, of loose hay. And that's called a matben. And she'omed ben shtei chatzeros, so you have two chatzeros, and in between them you have a matbein, which is called a gadish in modern Hebrew, which is a stack of hay, gavoa asara tfachim, and it's piled up 10 tfachim high, which makes it into a mechitza. As we said a million and one times, the minimum shear of a mechitza is 10 tfachim in height. And therefore, it's a mafsik. Uma'arvim shnayim, ve'im avarvim echod. They cannot make one joint area between the two chatzeros. Each chatzer will have to establish its own private eruv. However, the Mishnah says, ve'elu machilim mikan, ve'elu machilim mikan. Which means that the members of each chatzah on both sides of this matbein are allowed to feed the hay to their animals. And that's a big chiddush. Now, what I'm about to say now is the main point of the whole shiur today. If this matbein reduces its height, I mean, again, it's an inanimate object, so the word reduce is a little bit imprecise, but if the height of this matbein will be reduced, for example, the animals start eating up the hay, then the bnei achatzer cannot carry. Why? Because now it becomes one chatzer without a mafsik. And now we need an eruv between the two chatzeros. And in the absence of the eruv, you are enjoined from carrying from your house out to the chatzah. So in the middle of Shabbos, the animals started devouring up. They were very hungry that day. And they started devouring the hay. And now it's lower than 10 tfachim. And as a result, it's no longer a mafsik. And therefore they could not, they cannot carry. So the answer is that our Mishnah is not afraid of very hungry animals. In other words, in the course of a Shabbos, we don't anticipate that the animals would devour so much of this haystack that they would reduce it from 10 tfachim as a mechitza to lower than 10 tfachim, and that therefore there would be an issa to carry from one chatzah to the other. However, nismayit hatevim yasar tfachim, in event that we know for sure, for certain, that the height of the Tevin has been reduced to below 10 tfachim, then ma'arvim echad v'yei ma'arvim shnayim. Now the individual erevin of the respective chatzeros is no longer valid. They need one common erev between the two chatzeros, because there's no mafsik between them. But we're not going to assume that that's going to happen on Shabbos itself as a result of the eating of the animals. So that we can rely, until we know for sure otherwise, that the height of the matbein is in fact 10 tefachim high, as we measured it. And we don't have to start worrying and assuming that it's no longer 10 tefachim high. In the event that we know it's not 10 tefachim high, then we need a joint eruv to allow tiltal in both of these chatzeros, because there's no longer a mafsik between them. He writes here that kol makom she'ena mechitza gavoa asar tfachim, if the mechitza is not 10 tfachim high, which is called a pirza in the mechitza, is therefore eni yechola, each chatzer eni yechola li'arev li'atzma el'tzricha eruv im ha'chatzer she'nifritza lo. In other words, each chatzer is now prutza, it's open into the other chatzah, so we need an eruv for both Chatzeros as one common Eruv. V'in yechzar ha-teven me'asor tfochim v'pochos me'eser amos ha-mokom shenechzar ha-teven yechoshiv kipesach. V'yuchol gam li'ariv yachad v'gam li'ariv kol chotzel li'atzma. If the, just one second. So again, in the first case, the pirtza was a result of the fact that the mechitza is no longer 10 tefachim high. Now he has a second case where the pirtza was not in the height of the mechitza, but rather in the width of the mechitza. You follow? Not in terms of how high it is, but rather how wide it is. And now if it opens up more than 10 tefachim, more than 10 amos, that's called a pirtza. And in such a case, we need an eruv between the two chatzeros. Now here's the next case. In Yechoser Ateven me'asor tfochim bepochos me'eser amos. Ah, I see what he's saying. When you talk about shaving off part of the height of this matben, it doesn't necessarily mean that he chopped it off from the beginning to the end. So it could very well be that at certain points in the matbein is lower than 10 tefachim, but other points it's higher than 10 tefachim. It's not necessarily uniform. So he says the following, Hamokom shenechzar ha-teven yechoshev kipesach. He says that if you don't have a continuous 10 amos of pachos mi eser begova, then we can view that part of the matbein which is lower than 10 tefachim as a pesach, and now you have a chotzer which has a pesach, and that gives the bnei chotzer two options. Either they can have a joint Eruv, or they can have a separate Eruv, each one, each chatzah to itself. But in our Mishnah, when it says Nismait HaTeven, it means that during the week it became lower, and therefore, in the following Shabbos, you're going to need that both chatzeros join together in one Eruv. Al osa Shabbos omer shema arvim echad ve'en ma'arvim shnai. Okay, so that's what we have so far. Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that when it says that you're allowed to allow the animals to eat from the matbein, and we don't have to worry about the fact that it might go lower than 10 tefachim, he says, "Ubelvad shelo yitein l'toch kuposo v'yachil." There are three possible ways in which a person could facilitate the dinner of his animals. That, in other words, the eating of his animals. One way is to lift up the food with his hands and feed it to the animal. The other extreme, I'll get back to the middle case in a second, is where he just sort of leads the animal towards the food. So he makes sure that, you know, if the animal is turning towards the right, he stands on the right so the animal moves towards the left and vice versa. He guides the animal towards the food. But he doesn't lift up the food and feed the animal. In the middle, between those two polar extremes, we have a case where he takes the food. He doesn't feed the animal with his hand, but rather he puts the food into a utensil. And then he places the utensil in front of the animal. Says Rav Huna that when the Mishnah permits the Bnei Chatzeros to feed their animals from this haystack, that means that he allows the animal to take the food and eat it on his own. But he's not allowed to take the food and gather it together into a kupa, into some sort of receptacle, and feed the animals. And how much more so, he's not allowed to feed the animals with his hands. So what Rav Huna says is basically, if he's going to, the human being will gather, one of the Bnei Chatzeros will gather together the teven, place it into a kupa, then we're always afraid, and we have to suspect that he won't be careful to guarantee that the matbein is still 10 tefachim high. He may take a large amount of the teven, of this hay, and place it into the kupa. He doesn't want to be stingy about it, so he fills up the entire kupa, and as a result, he takes away from the matbein so much that he reduces its height below asar tefachim. And he's going to continue to be metaltel in his chatzah, because we made an eruv in our chatzah, but he doesn't realize that now, on Shabbos itself, because he grabbed so much of the matbein, of the teven, and therefore he reduced it below 10 tefachim, he now needs an eruv to allow him to carry in his chatzah, but he needs an eruv that's a joint eruv between the two balei chatzeros. He says, be'achilas ha-behema, if the animal is eating on its own initiative, lo chashishu, we're not afraid she is smite hamatbein me'asor tefachim, be'orech shel eser amos. Right, as we said before, you have a continuous 10 amos of width that is below 10 tefachim. How much teven is the animal going to eat? Kevan shebehema ocheles ma'at ma'at. Animals eat slowly. I mean, I once, on my way to Yericho, I remember watching the camels over there, and they were eating straw, and they, you know, they chewed it, they have, you know, it was a very slow process. Is ein ha-behemah mema'etes kol kach b'matbein b'achilo shel Shabbos achas. However, k'sha'odom notil b'yodov v'nosin le-behemah, and now Rav Huna is extending it, not only when he gives the animal food with his hand, but he even collects it into a kupa, is yesh lochush, we're afraid she yitol yoser mimashitzricha behema. You know, he feeds the animal with an ayin tova, so he's very magnanimous, and he takes a large volume of matbein, of tevin. V'yamaites ha-matbein mi'asor tfochim. Masha enkein in contrast, ha-behema shenol tell us me'amatbein. The animal is not so eager to eat more than it should eat. Is notels ma'at ma'at vocheles, it takes small amounts at a time and eats them. The af ein lachsho shekol achiloso yachad yamatu as amat be me'asor tefachim, kevon she'ena behem ocheles kol kach b'shabbos achas. Now all this is fine and dandy, except for a statement of Rav Huna back on Daf Yud Zayin. Let's just remind ourselves. Rav Huna on Daf Yud Zayin is of the opinion Sheshabos Hoil V'Hutra Hutra. If you have a chatzer that was a valid chatzer at the time of the onset of Shabbos, even if in the middle of Shabbos during the course of the day there's some change that's placed in the chatzer, which would generate an Issur Tiltul, he's allowed to continue carrying in the chatzer on that single Shabbos, based on the fact that there was a heter via through the good services of this chatzer at the onset of Shabbos. And that's called holva hutra hutra. Here also, what are you afraid of? You're afraid that during Shabbos, he may, you know, when he gathers together the hay into a kupa, he may take too much, and then he's lowering the height of this mechitza below asar tefachim, but betchilas haShabbos, at the onset of Shabbos, he was allowed to carry in that chatzer. And therefore, even if it becomes reduced and diminished later on, he would still be allowed to carry because of the principle of Rav Huda himself, Hal v'hutra hutra. So the Rashba quotes the Ravid, who says that Af shemutalem l'taltil b'chotza, Ach shenasa b'chotza shinri, Sha'asa l'taltil b'chotza, v'komakom tzarech l'ha'izoyer shlo yovel l'idei kach. So the Rashba says, and this is a little bit of a push, that although it's true you can rely, and there is a head to tiltu based on the fact that hold hutra because of the onset of Shabbos, but nevertheless, we want to be very careful and avoid that situation. That's only a kind of fallback position. The Ritva says, Choshishu shalo yavchinu shenismata amachitza v'taltu v'chotza apish habos acheros. Our fear is that if he, in the course of feeding his animal, he takes too much of the tevin, then he simply won't be aware of the fact, he's not paying attention to the fact that the tevin is no longer 10 tefachim high, and he's going to rely on this tevin next Shabbos. Now, the Chazon Ish adds the following comment, Af shechoshishu mishum Shabbos acheres, even though according to the Ritva, we're worried about next Shabbos, lo osru litol me'ateven rak b'Shabbos. Chazon Ish asks the following question, well, maybe during the week we should tell him he's not allowed to gather the tevin and feed his animal, because he won't pay attention to the fact that it's less than 10 tefachim in height, and therefore next Shabbos he's going to rely on the tevin. He says, "Make sure no tell me a mechitza b'chol is b'Shabbos Achachen Yodeh who should tzarch livdok." He says, since he used the matbein to feed his animal during the course of the week, he will be aware of the fact that when it gets to Friday, Erev Shabbos, he's going to have to recheck the Erev, so to speak, meaning the mechitza. Avok shu no tell me a mechitza b'Shabbos v'zocher sha'af Achar shenotal me'amachitza dayin tiltel bechotze in his ochre b'shabbos she'acharka. Well, I'm not sure what kind of grade I would give this, but the Chazon Ish claims that when he feeds the animal on Shabbos, and the halacha is that he's allowed to continue to carry on Shabbos, even if the machitza is no longer a valid machitza and it's lower than 10 tefachim, he in his mind comes to the conclusion that it's 10 tefachim high, and next Friday he's not even going to bother checking it. In other words, once the Rabbanan allowed him, based on Hol V'Hutra Hutra, to continue to carry in the Chatzer, this despite the fact that in fact the reality of it is that it's lower than 10 tefachim, that's going to sort of lead him to the mistaken conclusion that he need not check the haystack because he relied on this haystack on the previous Shabbos, even after he fed his animal. Okay, Rabbosai, let's get back to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says that midrabbana, we're not going to allow him to take and gather the hay in order to feed his animal. And when the Mishnah says that each one of the Bnei Achatz on the both sides is permitted to feed his animal, what it meant is that he can drag the animal with its reins, which is in Hebrew called the afsar, and he could bring them over to the haystack so that they eat. Now, we're introducing a fourth scenario, right? Let's just review. We had three scenarios. One scenario was where he actually takes the tevin and feeds the animal. In the second case, he puts the tevin, gathers it together in a utensil, a kupa, and then he feeds the animal in the kupa, meaning the animal is going to eat from the kupa. In the third case, we just let the animal go in on its own. Now we're introducing a fourth possible scenario. And that means when he grabs the animal by the reins and pulls the animal over to the haystack. It would seem that according to Rav Huna, the Mishnah would actually permit this, because again, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to feed your animals on Shabbos from the matben, and we're not afraid that as the animal is eating, he, the owner of the animal, the balachotzer, would actually lift up the matben, the hay, with his hands, which he's not allowed to do. So it means that even though the Torah doesn't prohibit him from feeding his animal on Shabbos, and actually taking the food by hand and feeding the animal, the Rabbanim prohibited it because they were afraid he might be tempted to take too much food, too much of the hay. And yet, therefore, I should say, since the Rabbanim prohibited him from taking the food into his hands to feed the animal, the mental attitude of the people is that this is a prohibition. This is a very serious prohibition. The law outlaws it. Even though it's only the Rabbanon. Again, on the Torah level, he's allowed to feed his animal, but the Rabbanon say, don't feed your animal. And therefore, Rav Huna concluded that in the case where he grabs the animal by its reins, schleps the animal over to the food, we can allow it, the Mishnah allows it, because he's not picking up the hay with his hands. And moreover, we're not even afraid lest he pick up the food while the animal is eating. You know, he's really very close to that level. I mean, he's already bringing the animal onto the food. He's standing there while the animal is eating. He may be tempted to help the animal by picking up some of the food. No, he knows that that's awesome. So we don't have to be afraid that if we allow him to drag the animal over to the food and eat on its own, that he may actually feed the animal, because he realizes that that's awesome. Even though it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, but it enters into the mental state of the people. They take it very, very seriously. And we don't have to be afraid that he will violate the Issur feeding the animal with his hands. That's the premise of Rav Huna. Therefore, Rav Huna says that when the Mishnah permits you to feed the animals, each of the Bnei HaChatzar, on the two sides of the haystack, what it means to say is that you can schlep the animal and leave it on the haystack. In other words, right next to, contiguous to the haystack, and we're not afraid that he'll pick up the hay and feed the animal. However, Rav Huna says that if he picks up the hay and either directly feeds the animal or collects it into the kupa, that's already prohibited, because then he's grabbing the hay and he may take too much hay. The animal doesn't eat that much, but the person might take too much. So that according to Rav Huna, there's no chashash that when he's mamid his behema on top of the food, that he may take some of the hay with his hands. We don't, because Chomer Yitzel, Bnei Odom know that you're not allowed to take the food with your hands. So the Gemara asks the following question, Ula Ukme Shari, is it really so as Rav Huna assumed it to be? The Gemara is questioning the very premise of Rav Huna, that we're going to allow you to take the animal and schlep it onto the food, which is called in Aramaic l'ukme, in Hebrew it's called l'ha'amid. Those are synonymous terms just in two languages. And l'ha'amid means to set up the animal over the food. And now the Gemara is going to embark on a project to prove that whenever you're not allowed to do it with your own hands, you cannot bring the animal to do it. V'omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Chanina. Okay, now we're going to learn a little bit about the laws of Muktza. And here's a statement of Rav Huna transmitted in the name of Rav Chanina, that a person's allowed to lead his animal, Mamid Odomis Behemto al Gabi Asovim, Bishabis, So now we have grass that's growing on Shabbos. He's allowed to schlep his animal and put the animal, place him on top of the grass in order for the animal to eat. And the reason for that is, chas v'shalom, a person would never be tempted to grab the grass with his own hands. That would be a malacha d'oraisa of tlisha, which is a told of ktsira, of reaping. But ein mamid odemis behem to al gabi mukta v'shabbos. But yet, paradoxically, we're going to be more severe and strict about mukta, and you're not allowed to take your animal and set him up, meaning shlepum, which is called mamid behema, on top of mukta. For example, let's take a case of teven that was designated for kibbutz. Again, I don't know enough about the physics of it, but apparently teven could serve two purposes. It could either be animal fodder, and the camels will eat it with great gusto, or it could be something that's used as a lilabein es abgodim, how do you say it, as a cleaning agent. Okay, I'll use that phrase. There's a more precise word in English. And if the teven was designated for kibbutz, for laundering, for a detergent, we'll use that word, then it's mukta. And now he decided on Shabbos that he wants to lead his animal onto that teven, that pile of hay that was designated for as a detergent, to feed the animal. The animal's hungry, it has to eat, he doesn't have another source of food, so he changed his mind. Forget about using it as a detergent. So in such a case, Rabbi Hanina prohibits it. Why? Because we're afraid that if we allow him to schlep his animal to eat from this teven, which is mukta, the detergent teven, then he might be tempted to lift up the teven with his own hands and violate the Isur Tiltul Mukta. Why? Because Tiltul Mukta is not so... It's only a Drabbanan. So in his mind, you know, he's not so careful about it. In the case where it's Mechubal Akarka, then Chas V'Shalom, you know, we don't have any fear, like the Asovim case, the grass that's growing, that he would start ripping out grass. He has the strict mentality about a Doraisa. But when it comes to the violation, the possibility, the suspicion that he might violate the Isur Tiltul Mukta, which is only an Isur Drabbanan, now we got to get very very anxious about it. We got to get very machmir about it. Now this is going to be a contradiction to Rav Huna. Why? Because Rav Huna says in our Mishnah, although you're not allowed to collect the fodder with your hands, because you might diminish the size of the mechitza, etc., etc., but you're allowed to take the animal, schlep it, and, you know, leave it on top of the teven. And we're not afraid that he'll therefore go ahead and pick it up. Well, wait a minute. In the case of mukta, we didn't allow you to schlep the animal, put it on top of the mukta. We were afraid that you might pick it up with your hands. Because when it comes to the rabbanon like mukta, you're less careful about it. And if that be the case, then the Isur of feeding the animal on Shabbos in this context is only Drabbanon. Then we have to worry that if we allow him to be Mamed Behem on top of the Teven, he might actually come to feed the animal. So this is a contradiction to Rav Huna. And once again, it's very interesting because it's Rav Huna himself who's making the problems. Again, he's quoting Rav Hanina. So the Gemara answers that in truth, even here, it should be asur to take the animal and lead it by the hand to the matben. He may actually be tempted to grab the teven and feed the animal. Aye, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to feed your animal. Dekoyim levi apa v'yozla v'yochlo. This is the most extreme case of feeding the animal on the other side of the pole. And that is where the animal is walking and you block its right side so it moves towards the left. You stand on the left so it moves towards the right. You guide the animal to the haystack. And that's how you feed the animal. That's called Kayim Lebiapo. He stands in front of it. The Ozla Vyachlan, she walks on her own volition, the animal, and she eats from the haystack. And in such a case, the Rabbanan are not going to be so machmir and say, well, if we allow him to stand and guide his animal, he may come to actually pick up the... The very fact that the Rabbanan only allow him, and he knows that the best he's allowed to do to feed his animal is to come lebiapa, to guide the animal by standing here and standing there, he will remember that he's not allowed to feed the animal with his hands. So it comes out the following, that in three of the four of the scenarios that we spoke about before, that we outlined, only one is going to be mutter. How do the Bnei Achotzer feed their animal on Shabbos? They certainly can't pick up the food, in this case the straw, and feed the animal, because they may pick up too much fodder. They cannot gather the food and place it into a kupa, because they may again gather too much. Not only that, they're not allowed to even grab the animal by the reins, lead the animal, schlep it to the matbein, because once again, they're coming too close for comfort, and they may be tempted to lift up the tevin with their hands, which, although it's only a violation of a drabbanon, but adarabi, because it's only drabbanon, they'd be very lenient about it and not so careful about it. The only method by which the owner of the animal could achieve his goal and have his animal eat from this matbein is only the kaim lebiapa. Only if he indirectly guides the animal towards the haystack. So now the Gemara asks a kasha of a lo yitain letoku paso tevin. Is it really true? We have an objection against Rav Huna's statement that he's not allowed to collect the hay into a kupa. Vasanya, we have a brisa that says a bayis shebein or shaome bein shtei chatzeros. Now, the word bayis here between two chatzeros, that's something I don't think we saw until now, did we? Let's just see. I don't think we had the word bayis, did we? We had a matbein shebein shtei chatzeros. I mean, the difference between a bias and just a case without a bias is whether there's a roof on top. So here we're talking about a case where the area between the two chatzeros is actually roofed. That's why he calls it a bias. Umilu tevin. And he puts a whole stack of hay in this middle roofed area between the two chatzeros. Is ma'arvin shnayim ve'ein ma'arvim echad. Each one of the chatzeros independently has to set up its own eruv. They cannot join together in one eruv. Zed nosein l'sol kupaso v'yachil. Zed nosein l'sol kupaso v'yachil. Interesting. This brisa says, not as it says in our Mishnah, that ze machil mikan v'ze machil mikan, which Rav Huna interprets to mean kom lebiape, but rather it says no sein l'sol kuposa. In order to feed the animal, he is allowed to by hand grab a bunch of this hay and put it into the kupa. That's against Rav Huna, because that, according to Rav Huna, is too close to comfort. And im nismai teven miasor tvachim shneim asurim, if as a result of his collecting, or they collecting on both sides, the hay in order to put it into the kupa to feed the animals, it goes down below 10 tvachim, is asurim. Then there's an isur, because now the two chatzeros become one, and they require a joint eruv. Now, Ketzaru Oseh, this part of the Braisa, by the way, is not so relevant to the flow of that. So what we saw already is enough, because we've already seen that this Braisa is an explicit contradiction to Rav Huna, because it permits Nesina L'toch HaKupa. But in any event, let's see the next part of the Braisa. Ketzaru Oseh. What should he do in this case where the height of the Teven dips below Asar Tefachim, and we said Shnei Masurim, meaning he doesn't have an Erev to fall back on that joins the two Chatzeros, but what he can do is, what the Braisa wants to say is, at least minimally, we can create a Heter, we can permit you for each one to use this bias between the Shtei Chatzeros, or at least I should say one of the two should be able to enjoy this bias between the two Chatzeros, and he can carry into that bias, is Noel Es Beso, one of the two. Again, I don't know which one is more, is magnanimous, and he wants to help out his friend in the other Chatzer, but whoever it is, we'll call him Reuven. So what he does is he locks up any sort of opening into that bias, umevatalis reshuso, and he initiates a bitul reshus, in which he gives over his bias to his friend on the other side. Hu asur v'chavero mut. By what does he accomplish by what goal does he accomplish by as a result of ni'ilas delas plus bitul beso? What he accomplishes is that although he cannot carry out or in from that bias into his chotzer because he was mevatel's reshus, but nevertheless chaveru mut, his friend will be allowed to carry from his chotzer, meaning Shimon can carry from Shimon's chotzer into this bias on Shabbos. Now here we have a major machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva. We have a bunch of diagrams here to explain the two shitos. Let me leave it for a minute, Beli Neder, to come back to, because I just want to get the flow of the Gemara and how the Gemara in this Braisa objects to Rav Huna. And then the Braisa says, V'chenata Omer Begov Shel Teven Shebein Shnei Tchumei Shabbos. In other words, just like we said in the ratio of this Braisa, that as far as this bias in the middle between the two Chatzeros, those who live in these two Chatzeros on the two sides of the bias are allowed to fill up a kupa with Teven, the same thing applies in a case of a gov shel teven. A gov is a bar, which means subterranean, and it's quite wide, and they used to put teven inside the bar. That's where they stored the teven. That was where they stored the hay in order the animals should eat from. Shebein Shnei Tchumei Shabbos, which means that this bar is actually located on the borderline between two cities, so to speak, between the Tchum of one city and the Tchum of the next city, right? So you have two cities, let's say they're 4,000 amos away from each other, and there's a bar. Again, it could be a very large bar that overlaps, that spans both the tchum of this city and the tchum of that city. So half of the bar is in the tchum of city, we'll call it R, city on the right side, and half of the bar is located in city L on the left side. And now, the Bnei Ha'ir are allowed to take from the Teven, from that part of the Teven that's in the bar on their side of the tchum, so they're not taking anything outside of the tchum. And we're not afraid, maybe if we allow the Bnei Ha'ir on the right side to take from the right side of the bar, they may be tempted to take from the left side of the bar, which is within the tchum of a different city, but outside the tchum of their city. So now the Gemara asks the following kasha. Now we swing back to understand why the Gemara quoted this brisa and how it objects to Rav Huna. K'tani mi'as, it says in the brisa, ze no sein l'sof kupas v'yachil. Ze no sein l'sof kupas v'yachil. We're not afraid that while he's filling up his kupa with tevin, he might be mamay to tevin from asar tefachim. It's now only 9 tefachim, and they'll continue to be metaltel even after they were mamayated, whatever that means, either that Shabbos or another Shabbos. So why does Rav Huna say that in the case of tevin between 2 chatzeros, you're not allowed to fill it up in a kupa, right? The only heter that you have is kom lebiape. So the Gemara answers, Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva said that from this brisa that allows putting the tevin into a kupa, in the case of a tevin that's mafsik between 2 chatzeros, that's inside a bayis, you cannot derive any conclusions that there's no chashash, we're not afraid that while he's filling up the tevin into his kupa, he's going to be mamayit the tevin from Asura, he'll continue to carry in his chotzer. Why? Because that's a different case. That's a case of a bias. It wasn't just plain tevin that was between 2 chatzeros. It was tevin inside a bias. What does a bias mean? A bias means that it has a roof on top. It's cave on to ika tikra ki mifchas minkare le milsa. But hachalo minkare le milsa. Now, I'm going to try to explain this Gemara to the best of my ability. And maybe you would help me sharpen it up a little bit. Fine-tune it. Minkar Milsa means Nikar Adover. It has to be clear. Somebody who is walking by, the onlooker, the spectator, he understands that there's a pile of hay and there's a roof. It's very noticeable to the eye what is the distance between the top of this haystack and the roof. That's something that's obvious, that catches the eye. And as soon as he sees that, he notices that because they fed the animal, etc., etc., there's a great gap between the top of this haystack and the roof. Again, that's something that catches your eye. Then right away, they notify all the people. The Erev is down, so to speak. Have you ever heard that phrase? You know, people run around, the Erev is down. In other words, no longer rely on this Erev, which was a private Erev in each case of the two respective chatzeros, because we need an Erev that would combine the two chatzeros. Why? Because I see the mute. I see, obviously, that this tevin, this matbein, is not what it was cracked up to be. It's not what it was originally, the height that it was originally. And that's all a result of the fact that there's a roof, and you see the distance between the top of the tevin, of the matbein, and the roof. But here in our Mishnah, where Rav Huna made his comment, we're talking about two chatzeros, and in the middle there's a haystack. There's no roof on top of the haystack. And therefore, if the tevin, the matbein, goes down below asar tefachim, lo min kareli milsa, it's not so clear to the naked eye. I mean, how do you measure? What do you walk around with a measuring thing? And, oh, if it's 10 tefachim, if it's more than 10 tefachim, less than tefachim, there's nothing that catches the eye that it really went down significantly. And therefore, we have to be choshesh that people will continue to carry from the chatzer, even though there's a mute in the matbein, meaning it's less than 10 tefachim, and they need a joint Erev to connect the two chatzeros. So the Gemara is basically saying that this Braisa is not a disproof to Rav Huna, because the Braisa is talking about a case where we don't have to worry, maybe the Tevin is lower than 10 Tefachim and they're not aware of it. They will definitely be aware of it in the Braisa, because the Braisa is talking about a case of a bias which has a Tikra, and that makes it quite noticeable if the height of the Matbein was reduced. Now, I wanted to go back to this machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva that I hinted about, and the Ritva says that we're dealing in this price with a slightly different case. Shnei batim psuchim b'miluam l'bayis shevein shtei chatzeros. You know, in my mind, I use the example to explain this riff of a garage. You know what I mean by garage? You know, or underground parking, whatever it is, or above ground parking, right? All the cars are lined up against like a common wall, but there's nothing. Now we have more sophisticated parking spots, you know, where there actually are walls that you know, separate one spot from another, so that a car is separated from the next car over by a wall. But let's imagine maybe a classic old-fashioned parking lot, and there's one car next to the other. So now we have a car on the left, a car on the right, there's nothing separating between the two, and in the middle, there's a matbein. You know, there's a haystack. So forget about the cars now, and instead we have chatzeros. So we have a chatzer here on the right, a chatzer here on the left, and in between there's a haystack. Again, everything is roofed. Of course, we're talking about a bias. And that would mean that if you look at it from the open area, what you see is a chatzer here that ends in a wall, a chatzer here that ends in the same wall, and in the middle, there's a haystack. And it's roofed on top. But there's nothing separating the two chatzeros from the matbein. And that's called nifritza b'milua, or prutza b'milua. In other words, each chatzer is totally, totally open to this matbein, which is located in a bayis, meaning in the middle between the two chatzeros. So, shnei abatim psuchim b'miluam labayis shebein shtei chatzeros. They're totally open. There are no walls that separate neither the chutz on the right from this matbein nor the one on the left from the matbein. The Omra Braiso, Shu Noel es Beso, Umevatel es Rishuso, Vios Mutalo Lishtamesh Bechotzer. So let's try to understand the Ritva. I'll read to you the language of the Ritva. Bayis zeh lo hayu psuchim lesocho batim ela hu mafsik bein shtei hachatzeros. U bayis zeh lo hayu lo mechitzos klal. V'rak ha-teven shebo nechshav le-mechitza mafsika ben shtei ha-chatzeros. So the Ritva is saying, not like Rashi, that there are two chatzeros that are underneath one common roof, and each chatzer is completely open to that middle matbein, but rather we're talking about classic chatzeros. And what you have is a roofed area right in the middle between these two chatzeros, and underneath the roof is a haystack. Hateven shebo nasa mechitza. Now everything is open, and the teven itself creates a mechitza. And now the question is, what does the Ritva gain by this? He says, "She efshar lomar shahayu labayis mechitzos, shimkein afim nismayt hateven mutul taltel bechatzeros, kevin she mechitzos abayis mafsikos beina chatzeros." So the Ritva, in a sense, confirms what we said before, that there are no mechitzos that separate the two chatzeros from the matvein in the middle, because if there were mechitzos, then it would really make no difference what the height of the matvein is, because in any event, each chatzer is separated from the matvein with the mechitza. But rather, there are no mechitzos, just open air. And again, the question here is, what is the Ritva adding to Rashi? In other words, the Ritva understands that what Rashi has in mind are two batim that are completely psuchim bimloam to the middle bias. And in such a case, since we have no mechitzos, it's the matbein that serves as a mechitza, only if it's 10 tefachim high. Now, I'm going to try to suggest the following. What's the difference between Rashi and the Ritva? According to Rashi, in the case of Nismai Tateven, is Nesru Shnei Abatim, and therefore, the Brisa says, no LS Beso, Mevatos Rishuso, and that's fine. That's good according to Rashi, because Rashi is saying that we have two batim that are open to this matbein. So therefore you could say that if the matbein is less than 10 tefachim in the middle of Shabbos, it goes down in the middle of Shabbos, then the Brisa gives us the eitz of Noel es beso mevatel es reshuso. But according to the Ritva, we're talking about basically a matbein that's in the middle of two chatzeros. So the two chatzeros joined together, and there are no mechitzos whatsoever. There are no batim. So in that sense, the Ritva is similar to Rashi, because there are no mechitzos that separate the chatzeros from the matbein. The matbein itself is the mechitza. And how is the Ritva going to understand the Gemara of Noel es Beso? What it was Noel es Beso Vavatas Rishuso? Let's just think about that. According to the Ritva, since he's not allowed to carry into the Chatzer, because now there's another Chatzer, and the mafsik, the machitz, is gone, so he needs an error between the two chatzeros, is the answer is Noel es Beso, and he's mevatel es reshuso. So I don't know exactly what the Ritva adds to Rashi. In other words, ma hoil, I'm going to write the Haritva Le'umat Rashi. I don't know. That I don't understand. So let's just, I'm looking at the clock, we're going to have to stop soon. Let's just make a note of where we are. We're here on Daf Ayin Tes Omid Aleph, and we're up to Velo Yitain, which is approximately, I would say, 2/3 of the way down the Amud.